And that was the Harlem Blues performed by the Julian Lage Trio. I'm Dan Wanshura in IPR's Studio A. Pleased to be joined by the Julian Lage Trio. We've got, of course, Julian on the guitar, Orlando LaFleming on bass, and Kenny Wallison on the drums. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us, man.
So, Julian, I want to talk a little bit about, so you've been playing the guitar for a long time.
That's right.
What was it that inspired you at such a young age to pick up the instrument and play?
Well, I started because my dad played guitar. He started when I was around four. And so as soon as he got one, I basically wanted a guitar so I could play with him. You know, I'm the youngest of five children, and my sisters and brother, they all had their things that they're good at and are involved with, and they're all absolutely wonderful. So guitar was kind of like an excuse to hang out with my dad.
Oh, interesting.
And so as he was learning, I was begging for a guitar. My parents said if I still wanted one when I was five, they would get me one. And so when I was five, sure enough, that's when I got a guitar and just kind of dove right in.
Okay. So it was your way of getting dad time as the youngest kid.
Totally. It still is. That's the funny thing. I mean, my dad, though he doesn't play much guitar anymore, he's still like one of the most brilliant guitar thinkers, you know. As a kid, when I'd go to lessons, he would join me just because he would drive me there and he would sit with me. And so every lesson I took as a young person, he took as well. He just didn't have a guitar. He didn't go, you know, play it. So in a lot of ways, he's kind of like a coach and just also my father.
Interesting. That's great. And then I understand, so your parents decided to take you to a Carlos Santana concert? Is that right?
Yeah, kind of a circuitous route. We ended up going to see Santana in the Bay Area. I'm from Northern California. And a friend of my father's knew Santana. And all that he told my dad was, Santana's playing this weekend. If you show up around soundcheck, you'll be able to get in. Like it was a kind of a different era already.
Sure, right.
So I would have been, you know, 7 years old, and my parents and I just drove up to this, what's called the Concord Pavilion. It would have been like, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and just walked right backstage, and there was Santana and said hi. I mean, I can't imagine that happening today.
Right.
But we hung out, and it was, we said, you know, said hello, and he asked if I would play with him, if I wanted to play with him that night. It was a double bill with Jeff Beck, too.
Okay.
And my parents and I talked about it, and we said no, you know, because it's a lot, you know, to go from just thinking, I'm gonna, you know. My parents are always so keen on that. Like, if you're not emotionally equipped to deal with the experience, maybe it's safest not to throw yourself into it. That would have been startling, you know. So he said, you know, respectfully, thank you, but no, thank you. He said, great, okay, come back next year, because I'll be back. And, you know, plan on it. And next year we just walked, same thing, just pulled up next to the loading dock, walked in, and he said, here's the song we're going to play, and we went out and played it. It was really very lovely.
That's great. That's good. I want to talk a little bit about, so you were often referred to as a child prodigy.
Sure.
Growing up and
sure.
You being so successful at a young age. But then a lot of people, for them, that doesn't translate into success as they continue to get older. They almost burn out or they kind of fizzle.
Mm.
I'm curious, how do you maintain kind of that momentum and that edge as you developed and grew older?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, I remember really, really well being a young person, people would talk about it. They say, you're a prodigy or it's prodigious. And for whatever reason, I kind of had the sense that that was just their way of trying to be nice. You know, I could see taking it the wrong way or taking it as like almost as like a directive, like you're a prodigy, so you know, don't screw this up. But I just thought, well, you know, if they're an older person looking at a younger person, I would probably use similar language too. You know, they're just trying to say, keep going. As a consequence of viewing it that way, I think I always thought that I really wanted to not be good just for being a kid, but just be good by my own, based on my own abilities. So anytime I'd get that kind of attention, I'd say, thank you, but, you know, just wait, because I want you to hear what I am capable of, you know? So it was a nice little fire. And also you have to keep in mind, I know it wasn't that long ago, but this was way before YouTube or anything. So I was pretty much anonymous until quite late. I didn't make my first record until I was 21, even though I started when I was five. So it was easy to just kind of hibernate, hunker down, practice guitar, play some gigs, have friends, but no one else, you know, I wasn't on Ellen or anything. So, you know, that changes things a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Did you ever kind of go through a stage where you got tired of it and had to put it down for a season, or has it been continuous since you were five?
It's been pretty continuous. I mean, when I was eight, I remember I had a freak out moment. I was just like, what? This is, in those 3 years, it just, is that five, six, seven, eight? No, in those, yeah, I've been playing about 4 years. I started to see the sea change of like, this was something that I thought I was just doing because it's something to do with my dad. And now it's kind of getting serious in a different way. But you know, I worked through it, and I was kind of, I mean, obsessive as a practicer too. So I like holding this, or I like touching it, whether I play it or not. So it was hard to kind of to put it down. I've had to learn how to do that.
Yeah. And so when was it that you kind of came to that conclusion that this is what you want to do?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I don't think I thought of it in those terms of do I want to or do I not.
Okay.
It was more, how am I going to view this so that it feels sustainable? You know, because, you know, emotionally speaking, if you can fall in that thing of only being as happy as your last gig. You know, if it went well, you think, great. And if you kind of sucked, you think, oh, I guess I shouldn't do it. And that roller coaster is a little, it's indicative of feeling like that you have to do everything. So I kind of, at those junctures, I would always kind of, you know, initiate a new study. Like, okay, now I'm going to study Indian music because there's no preconceived notion of being good at it. Or I'm going to get deeper into this kind of jazz or improvised music. So I took those as cues to just like, I don't know, try to get better and not be discouraged.
I'm talking with Julian Lage. He's performing in IPR Studio A with the Julian Lage Trio. He's got a recital or a concert coming up tonight at 7:30 at the Dendrinos Chapel. Tickets are available at the box office or online. Now, you guys have a few more songs you're going to play. Let's hear the next one you have lined up. Mm. This is Nocturne.
This is Nocturne. We'll play it for you. Thank you.
And that was Nocturne, performed by the Julian Lage Trio. And I've got a great vantage point. I can see that you guys are having a ball here that our listeners might not be able to hear.
Yeah.
But it's apparent in your playing that you guys are having a lot of fun together.
We are. We're very, very lucky.
So I'm curious, in that particular piece, the dynamic range of the guitar was really evident,
mm-hmm.
how you contrasted, mm-hmm. and even this piece with the first piece, Harlem mm-hmm. Blues, that you played.
Mm-hmm.
You once kind of hinted at this concept, like the guitar is its own tiny orchestra. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if that ties into kind of the concept of dynamic range, or what do you mean by that?
Well, it certainly could. I mean, the guitar in a lot of literal ways is orchestral. You know, it occupies kind of three main regions, low, middle, and high. You know, obviously it's adjusted. It's not as low as cello or double bass, and it's not as high as a flute or a piccolo, but it does have a range, you know, and with six strings, there's a lot of combinations of, you know, you can have I'm learning this constantly, that depending on how I orchestrate my guitar playing, it can sound like a lead guitarist, a rhythm guitarist, a string quartet, an orchestra, and it's part of it is just even the polyphonic aspect, you know, because guitars can play multiple notes at the same time. It's kind of like you do have to consider things the way maybe an arranger would, and say, okay, that's if I want my high, which isn't that high, to sound really high, I need to really live in the low range for a while, and things like that. I mean, I just feel like anything that applies to a symphony applies to a guitar. It's fun. It's fun like that. The other consideration is your technique. You know, I use a pick, a plectrum, which can be considered limiting in some ways, because unlike a classical guitarist, I can't grab as many things at the same time. So I just have, you know, I try to be tricky and find workarounds for that.
That's interesting. So I'm curious, do you have a certain preference? As I know you recently came out with your first solo album, World's Fair. But then you also perform with the trio. How do you compare the two? What are some of the differences? Do you have a preference?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, it's so funny because on the heels of the solo guitar project, which was like kind of a long time coming in the sense that I was deathly afraid of it for so long.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it wasn't.
Why was that, do you think?
Well, there was this feeling of like, well, it's just one person. I couldn't possibly have a compelling program, you know, and most of it was ignorance. You know, I just thought, well, I didn't really know what a solo guitar player does, and so I in love over the last few years, that's been a major focus of mine. And on the heels of that, the kind of other side of that coin is having a trio. It almost feels like the same concept, just, you know, slightly different orchestration. With solo guitar, you have to have a band in your playing. You have to have a lead singer in your playing. You have, like we were talking about the tiny orchestra, you have to have the whole thing. And with the trio, obviously there's a lot of things that I don't have to cover, because we do have bass and we do have drums. But the thinking is the same, you know, it's the same architecture. The difference is maybe I have a little more wiggle room with certain things, but I think the probably the big difference, which is my favorite part of it, is that you're with your friends, you know, when you're playing music with people you want to make music with. And that's the one thing with solo, it's kind of, it's an exchange between you and the guitar and the audience, in a way. This is an exchange between ourselves, the music, and the audience. And it's just like, it's another side of the same coin.
And again, you can see the Julian Lage Trio perform tonight at the Dendrinos Chapel and Recital Hall. That starts at 7:30. Tickets are available at the box office and online. Now, in addition to the concert tonight, Julian, you're also going to be kind of teaching a masterclass, I understand, with jazz students guitar students. I'm wondering, so you've been in their place. You've been a young person coming up as a musician, but now you're at a different level. I'm wondering, what have you learned that maybe you would have liked to have known back then when you were a young student?
Wow, that's a good question. You know, I was really fortunate as a young person, because the teachers I had were very, very disciplined in a certain way, but also very compassionate. You know, there was more of a sense that my teachers were kind of like my colleagues, you know, than a master-student relationship. It was very much like nurturing is the only word I can think of. So as a young person, the thing that I don't think I thought much about is that when you're a student, you're also kind of a great teacher. You're kind of the leading expert in where you are in life at that moment. You know, you're the leading expert in being a student who's struggling, you know. And I had a lot of avenues that I don't think I realized, but I was very, it's very empowering to be a student. You're not just receiving, you're actually giving quite a bit to the community. When we come to a place like this and we see young people who are talented, it blows our minds. We kind of get refueled. So that's maybe something I didn't really realize when I was in the heat of it, but I think that goes for all students, that they're as vibrant and helpful as the teachers are.
That's great. Well, guys, again, thanks for joining us in Studio A here. We've got one more piece. Again, you can hear the Julian Lodge Trio tonight at 7:30 at the Dendrinos Chapel. Tickets online or at Interlaken's box office. Want to thank Julian Lodge on guitar, Kenny Wallison on the drums, and Orlando LaFleming on bass. They've got one more song. They're going to go out to Persian Rug.
Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you.